You know, this is a year of opportunity. I believe this is a year where God is going to open some doors for us to walk through. Amen? And so, you know, opportunities come in a lot of different ways. You know, some of you will find opportunity as you walk through difficult times. Some of you will find opportunity as you move into new depths of worship and seeking Him. Some of you will find opportunity as you take those steps of faith and those things that you know God's called you to and you just haven't done it yet. But as you take steps of faith, opportunities and doors will be open. And some of you, as you just walk in obedience, things that you know God's told you to do, things that you know God spoke to your heart, as you begin to walk in obedience to those things, I believe God's going to create opportunity in so many ways. God's going to give us opportunities. And so we just need to be focused this year on however those come. This is a year to take advantage of every opportunity we have to come closer to God, to step into the destiny that God has for our life. Take advantage of every opportunity. And so this being a year of opportunity, and opportunities are this. Opportunities are, just like the video said, moments of breakthrough. Opportunities that God brings into your life are moments of favor. Moments of favor. Another word for it, we all are familiar with it, kairos. Another, you know, kairos. How many of you have been to Gateway's Kairos Conference? Kairos means an opportune time. An opportune time. A moment of favor. A moment where God opens wide the doors of His favor and says, come on in. Step on in. And this year, we just have to be determined to take advantage of every opportunity that God gives us to move in a closer relationship with Him, to step into something He's been calling us to, and to see Him work. Pray God. So everybody say, take advantage of every opportunity. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you, here's kind of the gist of what God's been speaking to me. Every time, if we know it's a year of opportunity, you know, every time that God gives an opportunity, every time God brings you into a place where you meet up with His destiny, every time where God puts you in a place where He wants to touch you, train you, bless you, increase you, every time you move into a place, an opportunity, be sure that the enemy is going to bring distractions. And so how many of you know? I mean, I've seen myself, I've watched other people. When there are moments of opportunity, the enemy will always make sure there are plenty alternate routes. There are plenty distractions and plenty things to take your eyes off of God, off of what He has to you, get you looking away so that you miss that opportunity. Now, when you say an opportunity is a moment of God's favor, a moment meant for breakthrough, how many of you know that opportunity doesn't stay there forever? An open door isn't always an open door. There's a time and a place and a season usually for these opportunities. And the enemy knows if he can distract you long enough that you will miss that window of opportunity. I don't want to miss any windows of opportunity this year. I don't want to miss any moments where God might speak to my heart or bring breakthrough into my life. I don't want to miss any moment, any opportunity. I told you, I think last time, I don't know if I was preaching or whatever, but I think I've told you about a prayer time where I was just so distracted. And so, you know, my mind was just racing 100 different ways. And I had my alarm went off that said I had 5 more minutes or whatever it is until time to get ready for work. And I was like, man, I just wasted my whole prayer. It's like, it's gone. I wasn't trying to waste it. I just realized, oh, wow, I just didn't even enter in. And then God spoke to me and said, give me a moment. Just give me the next few minutes. I think it was more like 3 minutes. Just give me the next 3 minutes. And in those 3 minutes, I just said, okay, God. And I just shut off the distractions. I said, I'm not going to think about anything. I did a brain dump. How many of y'all know how to do brain dumps? I do one every day when I get off work. It's a brain dump. You know, if I'm off more than a couple of days, I've got to go to where I've written down my passwords because I can't remember my passwords to get back in my stuff. And so, anyway, but at that moment, I just like, okay, God, and I just did a brain dump. And I'm telling you, when I gave Him just 3 minutes, He spoke something very deep and very encouraging and something that just brought freedom into my life. It was just a moment. It was just a window of opportunity. I could have easily just folded up my Bible and everything and said, well, I'll catch up later, God. God's looking for people that will give Him their undivided attention, that will lay aside the distractions and take advantage of every opportunity that He gives you this year. And if this year is a year of opportunities, it's going to be a year of distractions. And so really what God kind of spoke to me about this year, because it's a year of opportunity, that it's also a year of letting go. And I'll just read to you like He spoke to me. A year to let go. Let go of things that do not produce life. Things with no eternal value. Abandon those things. It's a year to remove those things from our life that hinder what God is doing and suppress the life of God inside of us. When we need to grasp onto those things that honor God, that bring worship to God, and that help us to know Him more. That's what I feel like God says for this year. It's a year of laying aside, removing those things from our life that would bring distraction, that would hold us back, and that would quench the life of God inside of us. I mean, I know we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We have the power and the Spirit of God inside of us, the life of God inside of us, the Spirit of God that's able to make all things new, the Spirit of God that was the same power that raised Christ from the dead, the Spirit of God that has the power to overcome and to conquer, and that has the power to give you joy, and has the power to give you peace beyond understanding, that has the power to bring your miracle that you're believing for to fruition. Everything you need is inside of you, the power of the Holy Spirit, the very presence and Spirit of God. And everything, God's Spirit is there to produce life in us. God's Spirit, the Bible says that the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Amen? God's Spirit is there to bring life into every situation, into every part of your life. But how many of y'all know we can quench the Spirit? We can cut off that life. And when the enemy brings distractions and brings things that get our eyes off of God and off of worshiping Him and off of spending time with Him, he's quenching the life of God that's inside of us. And we got to make sure this year that we lay those things aside. Those things that we hold valuable that really aren't valuable. It's all about assigning value, right? So if you hold something valuable, you know, usually we're going to do the things that are important to us, right? Even if it means going through some pain. All right? Now, for instance, tattoos. Dale likes tattoos. Enough that he was willing to go through pain to get those things on his arms. Now, I'm a sissy. I'm a wimp. I don't like pain. I've had enough needles stuck in me for medical reasons. I don't need one stuck in me to color. I'm good with Cracker Jack tattoos. You know? I'm good with those. Well, you just stick them on and you can wipe them off later. Okay, so to me, it's not something I value, so it's not worth the pain. Now, but to Dale, man, go ahead, man. Go through all the pain you want to. You know, I don't need to look pretty, you know. But anyway, well, that's just an example. Nothing against tattoos. I have no use for them, so, on me. Now, Dale looks tough. Now, I mean, he can flex that. Now, as you get older, Dale, I don't know. They're going to start looking saggy, you know, I don't know. But they're taking them back. But you know, that's just an example. You know, we will suffer through and we will take some pain to bring about something that we want, right? Well, this year is a year where we've got to want, we've got to desire the presence of God. We've got to desire to know Him and to be close to Him to the point that we're willing to lay things down. We're willing to suffer some things. We're willing to give up some things in a trade-off for having more of Him. More of Him. Amen? A year of opportunity. And so, as I was thinking about this message, praying about this message, actually, I wasn't praying about this message. God just gave me these scriptures. And usually when God gives me something, I'm thinking, God, that sounds like a message. And usually about 2-3 days later, Pastor Cricket calls and says, hey, Jason, can you preach? So anyway, usually I just put them aside and hope you don't call. But no, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so as I was praying about this, about this year and the other day, God put four scriptures on my heart. And so I actually put four chapters on my heart. And so later, after Pastor Cricket asked me to preach, I was like, okay, I guess I'm preaching out of those. But here's what, and just thinking about this year being an opportunity. We're thinking about, too, the things that have distracted us. How many of you in here today would say you've been distracted? That you've had things that kept you from going full steam, all out for Jesus? If you haven't, you're lying. But anyway, so, but we all have. We all have those things that hold us back. We all have those things that knock us off track. And some of us have those things that just keep knocking us and keep knocking us and keep knocking us. And we think, God, will I ever get past this? Will I ever be free from this? Am I ever going to get past this hump? And the answer is this. This year is a year of opportunity for those things. So I'm going to start off reading in Jeremiah 3. Because I know as we think about this, as I think about this, man, I think of all the things that I've allowed to distract me. All the things that I need to lay down. And I was going to do a demonstration tonight, but I didn't have time. But how many of y'all know to lay hold of the things that God has for us? We got to free up our hands, right? And if we're holding on to all those other things, if we're holding on to all those little things, maybe your little thing is just sleeping too late. And you don't get up in time to have a special time with the Lord. You know what? It's worth losing a little sleep to encounter Jesus Christ. Maybe you're holding on to a habit or an addiction. Maybe you're holding on to anger. Maybe you're holding on to a hurt or bitterness or an offense that happened to you. Whatever it is you're holding on to, you'll never be able to fully grasp on to what God has for you until you learn to let those things go and leave them at the cross. Amen? So, in thinking about that, what God put on my heart, and it's one of those things where He gave me the scriptures, and I'm like, okay, I don't know what these scriptures are, and I'm just so scared I'm going to go read it, and it says something like, the Lord shall smite you with His might. And I'm like, no, God, no. Maybe you meant something else. But anyway, Jeremiah 3 is what he led me to. And this is some hard language. It starts off with some hard language. Are y'all okay with some hard language? It's a small group. So, you know, if you see somebody bust down crying and start to run out, grab them. Somebody grab them. Hug them. Okay? Because it don't end here. But it's some hard language. It says in Jeremiah 3, it was talking about how Israel, God's people had not been faithful to Him. Israel, how they had departed from God. They had gone after other things. They had even worshipped other idols. They had done all these things. They were unfaithful to God. It says in Jeremiah 3:6, it says, the Lord also said also to me in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? Now that's not how you want God to refer to you, is it? Backsliding Israel done, she has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there played the harlot. There played the harlot. Now that's some harsh words, right? But they were unfaithful. And here's what I want you to do tonight. And if we're honest with ourselves, God's people have been unfaithful. I've been unfaithful. There are things in my life that I've let come between me and God. And you would see God, when I say unfaithful, I say we've allowed other things to take His place. We've allowed other things to take God's place. There's only one place that God will hold in your life. There's only one place that He's okay with. There's only one place that He's satisfied with, and that's first place. That's first place. God will be first place in your life. He's not below anything. If He doesn't hold first place in your life, then He's not Lord of your life. But He will only hold first place. And the only one deserving of first place is God. There's only one person. There's only one that's worthy of our worship and our adoration. There's only one that's worthy of first place. There's only one that's worthy to be the center and the foundation and the rock of our life. And that's Jesus Christ. He's the only one. And so when I say we've been unfaithful, I've been unfaithful as I've allowed other things to take God's place in my life. I know I have. Man, if I had always been faithful like I need to be faithful, man, I'd be a super Christian, right? If I was walking in the fullness that God has for me, it would be like Jesus, where people were bringing all the sick to me, and we'd be laying, man, we'd be healing people, slaying people. We wouldn't have enough catchers, you know what I'm saying? If we were walking in the fullness that God has for us. But putting God first isn't saying, God, you're first, you know, unless something else comes up. God, I'm going to give my all to you unless I'm a little tired and need to sleep a little longer. Well, God, I'm going to be faithful to church. Well, unless there's a football game on I want to see. Or unless the fish are biting. Unless it's hunting season. I only got one more Sunday to hunt. You know, those things aren't putting God first. Those things aren't putting God first. But God's looking for a faithful people that will put Him first. Amen? But here's the good news. Oh, wait, not yet. We'll get to the good news in a minute. Y'all want some more bad? No. But anyway, this is a year, I believe that it's a year that's the time to put God first, and it's time to lay down the excuses. We all got good excuses, right? Man, and some of them sound really, really good. Some of them sound really, really good. I was talking to somebody recently. Oh, and if it's any of y'all, I'm sorry. But you know, there's people at times. I was talking to somebody that didn't come to church. Said, well, we didn't come to church because we had family in town. You know, this is a year. Jerry, no. Jerry did his face like that. Jerry and Leah, man, they're faithful. They're always here. So it wasn't them, but. Or was it? No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, man, there's all kinds of excuses. You know, if all it takes is an excuse for you to not be faithful to God, the enemy's always going to make sure you've got one or two or three. He's going to have some backups, right? But this is a year to lay down the excuses. Lay down the excuses. Ben Franklin said something I thought was pretty cool. Benjamin Franklin said, a person who's good at making excuses is seldom good at anything else. I thought that was really neat. Unless you make a lot of excuses, then you probably don't think it's neat. But anyway, but this year, let's drop the excuses. Let's drop the excuses that keep us from serving God to our fullest. And let's get serious about taking advantage about every opportunity that God puts in our path. Every opportunity that God opens up for us to walk with Him, to commune with Him, to get to know Him better. Amen? Amen. No excuses. Y'all say no excuses. But here's the good thing. Even though Israel was unfaithful, and even though we fell so many times at being faithful, in verse 7 of that same chapter it says, and I said, after she had done all these things, after Israel, he said, man, that hard language, she had played the harlot everywhere, you know, unfaithful to God. In verse 7 it said, after she had done all these things, he said, return to me, return to me. He pleaded with her, return to me, return to me. In verse 14, he said, return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. Not only, God says, return to me. He says, I'm married to you. God says, I want you to be one with me. Me and you, you and me. Amen? In Christ. No matter what we've done, even though we've gone and done so many things that dishonor God, and so many times we've turned God away. And I know we don't intentionally do that. We don't intentionally say, no, God, I'm choose this. You know, it's not like that. I know it's not like that for all of you. I look around this room and all of you, everybody see that. I know you love God. I know you want to serve God. I know your heart is after God. And so I'm not saying we intentionally do that, but every time we deny Him access to our life, we're choosing something else over Him. Every time we deny Him a part of our life, we're saying, God, that part, you're not worth giving up that part. Every time we let the enemy distract us and turn us away, we're saying, this is more important to me, God, than what you have. And I know that's not intentional, but that's what happens. That's what happens. And for some of us, you know, I know if you're like me, you're thinking of all these things, man, that you can do different, all these things that you need to lay down, all these things that have distracted you and kept you from walking into God's destiny for your life. And some of us, they seem kind of big, right? Is anybody else, or am I the only one that seems to have big things or big obstacles? But man, sometimes it just seems hard. Man, how can you live? You're talking about a radical. Did y'all hear that screaming back there? I think it was fun. I don't know. But if anybody's one child short tonight, I think it just happened right now. Okay, so anyway, so where's that? So man, sometimes it just seems hard, man. God, to live a life with the devotion that God requires, to put Him first in all things. You know, sometimes that seems hard. God, how can I get to the place where I need to be in you? But I want to read the next chapter God told me to look at was Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7. And this one, hey guys, this one starts off good, okay? All right, y'all excited? It starts off good. Hallelujah. Amen. One hand clap. Praise God. All right. So, Deuteronomy 7. It says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess. That's that land that we all want to get to. That promised land where man, we are one with Him and we are walking with Him and we have everything that we need and we're just moving on. We're trucking on. We're like, you know, Christian trains, you know, chugging along. Nothing can stop us. That promised land. When God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites. These are the ones that he had to cast out for Israel. The Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Seven nations greater and mightier than you. Verse 2, and when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them nor show any mercy to them. This first verse here tells us God's part. It says that he will go ahead of you. He will go ahead of you. He's going to bring you into the land, and he goes ahead of you and casts out those nations, the names of those seven nations. I thought this was interesting because Pastor Cricket was telling me, after I already studied this, he told me something about this morning. He's going to start talking about the seven sneezes. And so I thought that was cool that he's driving out. This scripture is talking about he drives out seven nations greater than you. And so the number seven, I haven't done a deep study of this. I wanted to before tonight, but I didn't. But you know, the number seven is the number of perfection, completeness. And so, man, I read this and I was praying about this. God, what are you trying to say here? All those things that seem impossible, those things that seem too many, too much, too hard. God says, once when you turn to me, when you make a commitment to get rid of the distractions and focus on me, I will go ahead of you and I will conquer the enemies that have risen up against you. Those obstacles that are in your way, no problem for me. I'll level them. No problem for me. Those things that seem like they're just latched on to you and you can't get free from, God says, I will make you free. Amen? God says, I'll go before you. And the number seven, these seven, it says seven that are mightier than you. We got to know sometimes we're facing things that are bigger than we are. But the Bible says if God is for us, who can be against us? The Bible says that it's no longer you that lives, but Christ Jesus that lives in you. So you're not walking in your own power. You're not walking in your own strength. You can trust in the strength and the power of God to go ahead of you and to make your places smooth and make your places straight. You know that scripture. Anyway. I can't quote it right now, but I know there's a Bible scholar in here somewhere. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, but God goes before you. And in this verse, it's one of these seven that are greater than you. What that tells me that what God's doing for you is going to be a complete work. Amen? Nothing left undone. Just like the work of Calvary was a complete work. He didn't miss anything. There was nothing he forgot about. There was nothing that got by him. It was a complete work. He destroyed the works of the enemy entirely. For you. Amen? Praise God. The second verse there. The first verse tells us God's part. And we know that God's power is, God is almighty. There's no question, can he do it? And God's desire, he says in there, he'll do it for it. God's promise is to do that for you, to go ahead of you, to remove your enemy. And we know God's promises are sure. Amen? So we know he will do it for us. He can, and he will. The next part, verse 2, that's our part. He says, when the Lord our God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them, and you shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. When God removes something, when God conquers something in your life, when God takes something out of the picture, it's our job not to let them back in. Amen. It's our job not to let them back in. When you walk in the freedom that God has for you, I know there's a lot of you many times, maybe you come out of your prayer closet and boy, you just feel empowered. Boy, you feel like, man, God has done it. God has made me free. I'm going to walk in his freedom. I'm going to walk in his victory. Maybe it's in a church service and you walk out of here saying, God, thank you for your freedom. But when you walk out those doors and when you carry on with your life, it's our job to make sure the enemy doesn't try to creep back in. Because I can guarantee you he'll try to. No matter what kind of miracle you receive, the enemy is a lawbreaker. He will try to trespass and come back in where he's been kicked out. But that's where our job comes in. Not to flirt around with it. Not to make no place with it. It says show no mercy, but utterly destroy it. When Nicole, and I've told y'all about this testimony so many times, Nicole's just like, oh, here it goes again. When Nicole was healed of her stomach issues, you know, went from not being able to eat anything without pain to being instantly, one night, just healed. I mean, she felt warmth in her belly. There was a prophetic word given from a guy who didn't know us from Adam. And so she was instantly healed. Man, it was just an amazing miracle. But She received the miracle. She walked in the miracle. But it wasn't long where we know it was a spiritual thing. The enemy tried to come back in. And she started having a little bit of pain one time after she ate. And but she said, you know what? She said, you know what? God, you healed me. God, you did the work. And when you do a work, it's a complete work. And she said, in Jesus' name, I don't receive that sickness back on me. And guess what? The pain left. The pain left and she was okay. But I'm going to tell you, the devil's going to try to come in and steal what God gives you. When God gives you an opportunity to walk through and you walk through that opportunity and you find that moment of favor, you find that breakthrough in your life, the enemy will try to come back. But we got to stand our ground and say, no, the work that God did was complete. The work that God did was final. The work that God did is finished. Jesus said it on the cross, it is finished. And you got to let the devil know you're finished in this area in my life. You're finished. No more will you torment me. No more will you torture me. No more will you pull me off course and cause me to walk out of God's will. I'm going to walk according to God's will. I'm going to follow His plan. I'm going to enjoy the land that He has cleared out for me to enjoy. Amen? We got to possess the land that God's made available to us. That's our part. That's our part. Praise God. It's a year of opportunity. Amen? It's a year of opportunity. And here's the other thing I feel like God wants me to share. As God makes this year opportunity, and as you experience these moments of breakthrough, as you experience these miracles of God, as you experience the increase of God, as you experience, you know, whatever it is you're believing through or for, whatever opportunity and whatever favor and whatever it is that you walk through and God does for you, we got to be a people that testify and to declare God's works. In Joshua chapter 4, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's when Joshua was leading the children of Israel, and God had said, you're going to take Jericho. But between them and Jericho was the Jordan River, and it was during the flood season, and so it was overflowing its banks. It was impassable. And God told them, take the Ark of the Covenant and walk down into the river. And there's a whole other message in this, but you know, they had to walk down and step into the river. And once they stepped into the river, God parted the waters and they walked through just like He had done with Moses and children of Israel. The Bible says that they had walked through on dry land. And so this is after they had walked through in Joshua 4, verse 1. It says, when all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men from each, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up in the place where you camp tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men, one from each tribe. He told them, go to the middle of the Jordan, in front of the ark of the Lord, your God. And each one of you pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder. 12 stones in all. Verse 6, we will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? And then you can tell them. They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the ark of the Lord went across. And these stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. Forever. And I believe that what God's saying is that right in the midst of the thing that's meant to destroy you, right in the midst of the thing that is trying to cut you off from your promised land, right in the midst of the thing that looks like it is impassable and impossible to overcome, God says, I will take those things. And I will make a testimony out of those things. And I will make a reminder to you. And from now on, it will be a reminder. Those things, God's deliverance in the midst of those things. God's favor in the midst of those things. God's door of opportunity in the midst of even the hardest things that you've ever passed through. God says, I will establish a testimony of just how great I am. I will establish a testimony and a reminder for you just how awesome and how powerful and how able I am to carry you through. Amen? Amen. Right in the midst of the very thing that was cutting you off from God. God can use the very thing sent to destroy you. God can use the thing that seems to stand in your way, keeping you from your destiny. And God can turn it into an opportunity. Amen? Everybody say a year of opportunity. Praise God. And a year of opportunity and a year to lay things aside, everything that pulls us away and that distracts us from serving the Almighty God. Galatians 2:20, the last verse here I want to share with you. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This year of laying things aside, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take us getting up every day and saying, today I crucify my flesh and I choose to live a life that Christ has called me to live. Every day. Now, sometimes it's sometimes every hour, you know. Sometimes it's every few hours, you know, it's the alarm. Okay, I got to remind myself. But no, it's a choice. Every day. Even Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. The flesh opposes the spirit. The Bible says the flesh and the spirit are always in opposition against one another. Every day, it's a decision. Do I choose life or do I choose death? And what it comes down to, and I love reading these Bible commentaries, and I was reading about that scripture that says, today I lay before you life and death. Choose life that you may live in the land that I've called you to. And I read the commentary on that, and it says, what it comes down to is we've got to decide that it's more important to preserve our spirit than to feed our flesh. It comes down to that decision. Do I destroy my spirit to prosper my flesh, or do I choose to crucify my flesh? And I just believe that this year that God's calling us to a year of laying things down. Everything that would try to oppose us. Everything that stands in our way. We've got to say, you know what? It's just not worth it. God, I want to do what you called me to do. It's just not worth it. Turn the alarm off. Quit hitting snooze. Get up and seek God's face. Amen? And whatever it is your situation is. Can y'all tell that's my struggle? Snooze, snooze, reset the alarm, snooze, snooze. Oh, look, Lord, I just woke up, you know. And he says, Jason, I know what you've been doing, you know. About the snooze button. But man, it's just about today. It's just about, you know, just laying those down. Just saying, God, you know, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to preserve my flesh. I'm going to choose to keep my spirit healthy. I'm going to choose to feed my spirit. I'm going to choose that over my flesh. And so this year is a year to lay things down so that we can take advantage of every opportunity that God has for us. Amen? God doesn't tell us to lay things down just to lay things down. If he's telling you to lay something down, there's a reason for it, because he wants to put something else in your hands, something valuable in your hands. He wants to put something in your hands that's going to bless you, and it's going to change you, and it's going to make your life amazing. Amen? God sets us apart. It says he sets us apart. He doesn't set us apart for no reason either. He sets us apart and sets us apart from the world to set us apart unto his purpose. Amen? You're all set apart. You're all set apart for God's purpose and God's plan. Amen? Let's stand to our feet and let's pray. Father God, I thank you tonight, God, for your word. I thank you, Lord God, that your word always goes out and does what it's accomplished to do. God, I pray that the word that you gave tonight, Lord, I pray that where I've messed up in delivery, God, that your Holy Spirit will straighten it out, God, and commit it to our hearts, God. I pray that your word will be sealed in our hearts, God, and we will walk through this year, God, and take advantage of every opportunity we have, God, to know you, God, to experience you, God, to grow closer to you, God, and to see your power work and be manifested through our lives. Lord, help us, God, to recognize those things that are holding us back, God, and to lay them down, God, and pursue you with all of our hearts, God. God, you are worthy, God, of all of our life. God, you're worthy of every breath that we have, God. You created me. You gave us this life, God, and you meant for us to live an abundant, joyful, successful life, God. We praise you and thank you tonight. We give you glory. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.